You're listening to Island Life on Waiheke Radio. I'm your host, Chris Walker. Last week on Island Life, we spoke to Tony Meir, the marina developer and the man behind the Kennedy Point Marina, which has just recently been given the green light in the Environment Court following an appeal of the Auckland Council consent given to that project. The group that spearheaded that appeal was Save Kennedy Point. Last week, they weren't available to talk to us, but they are here this morning. So I have two representatives from Save Kennedy Point here. So we have Cathy Voiles, who's in charge of PR and a volunteer for the group. Good morning, Cathy.
Kia ora, Chris.
Kia ora. And we also have Sebastian Cassie, who is the internal legal officer for Save Kennedy Point.
Kia ora, Chris.
So, first of all, let's just start off with generally, you know, you've had, what, kind of a week and a half to reflect on things. What are the feelings within the SKP camp at the moment?
I think one of grave disappointment. And some sadness, but also we've managed to meet with at least some members of the community, but we'll continue to meet because obviously you can't gather everyone together at once. We're looking to see what the community wishes us to do next.
Yeah, I think as well as sadness and disappointment, there's an incredible determination. A determination to do what's right, because that's what Save Kennedy Point started as. It started as an organisation that wasn't looking for monetary gain or for ego or for anything commercial. What it was looking for was to serve the community in a way that not many organisations do these days.
So you held a special meeting during the week. And, you know, I suppose part of the discussion there would have been, you know, what are the immediate steps? So were there any determinations out of that meeting?
The meeting was, first of all, to gauge the and allow everyone to vent on how they felt. Something like this is very emotional for the community. It's very meaningful. So we opened up with a platform for everyone to express how they were feeling. And surprisingly, there were no tears. There were no people shouting or screaming. What people were doing was holding together and going, okay, so this is perhaps a setback, but how do we forge on? So that was the first purpose of the meeting. The second purpose of the meeting was obviously to canvass what other options there are. And we always do that in a really considered way. So we weren't looking for decisions. What we were looking for was just to express to the community what the various options were and are, and to hear what the temperature or the mood of the community was. Because this isn't one case. This is the second time we've had to go to court to protect our environment. The second time back to back. So that's almost 7 years of fighting up. Fighting and standing up for what is right. And so we also acknowledge that there's a bit of exhaustion and tiredness. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, we expected there would be exhaustion and tiredness. But somehow, out of the ashes, everyone was saying, although we are tired, we are also very determined to make sure that we stand on the right side of history. So it ended up being a very encouraging meeting, giving us a lot of options, and we now need to meet again, now that everyone's had the chance to percolate and understand what those options are, and now the next step is to make decisions.
Okay, so we'll come back to that in a moment. In the initial statement that came out following the Environment Court ruling, the Save Kennedy Point talked about it being an unjust and undemocratic outcome. So when you made those statements, were you talking about unjust and undemocratic in terms of an emotive response, or do you believe that the actual hearing process wasn't appropriate, was unjust?
Well, speaking as a layperson with no legal background, and I'll let Sebastian comment about this too, I sat in on the court process. We had a very little time to raise funds for this whole process, and as you know, we did the impossible and raised $250,000. It's very complicated. Most of us are holding down jobs, we have families, we have commitments, and through this whole last 10 to 12 months, we've had to make extraordinary decisions without being experts in the legal field. So I think It's a difficult process, the Environment Court. I don't think anybody thinks it's easy. And looking in from being a concerned citizen for myself, I found it to be extraordinarily non-friendly to the public in many ways. And I understand there's many complicated processes legally and under the RMA, but it wasn't an easy thing at all for any of us.
Unjust, they're really strong words, and usually they are driven by a sense of emotion first. I think that, as Kathy says, for most people, courts are an unwelcoming and uncomfortable experience. And that's unfortunate, especially when you sit on one side of the table representing not financial gain, but representing those who can't speak. And when I say those who can't speak, I mean the environment, I mean cultural community groups, I mean the young, the future generations who are going to inherit this land that we leave behind. So I think that's where the feeling of injustice comes from, and an uncomfortableness. Overall, obviously, three decision makers sit up there and they have to make decisions. But we entered that court not alone. We entered that court supported by valuable and very strong expert advice. Expert advice from ecologists, landscape experts, coastal process experts, planning experts, who all said and agreed with us that this development is disastrous. It's also telling that on the very last day of hearing, the State of the Gulf report was issued. And we had no influence on that report. It was, an independent report. And whilst we expected the conclusion of that report to say that the Hauraki Gulf is in a state of disrepair, we couldn't have expected how damning that report is. So you sit there as a group of concerned citizens pleading to three decision makers to acknowledge that we're at a very fragile point of history in terms of our Gulf, in terms of the environment. And then a State of the Gulf report gets issued on the last day that says, no, it's not fragile, it's dying. And you think, why are we here if that's the report? Why are we sitting here trying to convince three people that of a fact that's just been acknowledged by government, by local government, by national government? Why are we having to plead our case? And why is the man sitting opposite us saying, let me add to the dying? I think that's where the feeling of injustice comes from.
So does that mean that the argument is the wrong argument? That the argument is not so much about an individual project, the argument is actually about the overall question of development and health of the Gulf? And that, you know, and that the subset of that that you've been arguing is occurring within a set of rules, that actually your argument is against the set of rules, isn't it?
From a legal perspective, I hate to disagree, but I do. It is about a project. If this was a marine reserve that was being proposed, we've seen what's happened at the Great Barrier Reef, and we don't want to be in a state where we're saying, oh, we've got no time left to save something that's dying. So it is very much about what the project is. And the thing that I kind of laugh sadly at the most is everyone who's pro-marina says, oh, these people don't want to move forward and these people don't want progress. And the funny irony in that is that progress nowadays isn't judged by the size of your house, isn't judged by the size of boats and buildings and development. It is when you listen to the youth about caring about whether we throw plastics away. It's about caring nowadays about someone so much bigger and things so much bigger than ourselves. Progress is about understanding that we cannot leave this world without having a footprint, but we have a choice as to whether that footprint is a good one or whether it is a disastrous one. To all those who say, oh, these people are afraid of progress, I say to them, no, we hope to champion progress. We hope to champion progress by shaking our neighbour's hand and saying, let's stand together. And when I build something, let me think not about its size and about its weight, let me think about its effect on you, on our community. So this is very much about a project. The process, yes, will always be uncomfortable because clinically, these steps where you have to go through have to canvass a whole raft of opinions and moods and ideas. But and so I cannot judge that because I, obviously philosophically we can have a discussion about processes.
I mean, the judge's comments that were reported this week, and I think probably, you know, somewhat reflected in what you've just shared there, that there is a kind of a philosophical and passionate belief that sits behind the defence of that bay against the marina development. And the judge talked, I mean, quite damningly really, about evidence and talked about it being opinion-led evidence and anecdotal evidence and kind of a lack of rigour in that evidence. So that must be, you must be reflecting on that when you consider, you know, steps forward in terms of the viability of a legal response forward.
The judge was very critical about parts of expert evidence. What's lost in that purview or assessment is that a judge and commissioners sit there and they listen to two sides, and inevitably they must decide or choose which one they preference. And in doing so, they must be critical of the side that they do not preference, so that their judgment and their deliberations are sound. So it's not unusual for a judge to come out swinging against the experts who he's disagreed with, he or her has disagreed with. What we say is that experts said that this development is wrong. Experts said that this development will have harmful effects. The fact that those were, to the judge, unconvincing do not make them untrue. I go back to things like the State of the Gulf report and say that not our experts, but experts engaged by governments have said in this very area where this development is proposed, we are at a point critical where if we don't do something positive, this gulf will deteriorate further and will most likely die. We have beaches in Waiheke where we cannot swim, or we should not swim, because local government says to us, the testing that we do there says it's not suitable for swimming. This is not, you know, we don't need to be experts because experts have already said these things. And it saddens me, again, that this becomes a question as to whether a judge was critical about our experts, because I say, okay, leave our experts alone and then listen to the experts that council themselves have called not to defend a proposal, but have called outside of the proposal to say how does this area look, and what those experts on behalf of council have said is shit, things are not good.
Okay, so I'm talking to Cathy Voyle and Sebastian Cassie from Save Kennedy Point. Last week when I spoke to Tony Meir, the marina developer, one of the things he raised was that some time ago, you know, he offered an out-of-court settlement to SKP and offered to set up a $1 million fund, community fund, in order, you know, and in response you would drop the Environment Court challenge. So can you talk about that offer and the decision not to take that up?
Well, I think, Chris, you know, on the island, it's pretty hard to find a house to buy, which is under $1 million. At the time when the offer came in, we all just unanimously said no. The environment is priceless, absolutely priceless, and it should be for all the generations to come. And not only we should be the protector and the guardians of that. I think someone worked out that was about 32 cents per boat per day over 35 years. But again, I ask you, I ask everyone, what can you buy for $1 million? That little bay is certainly worth way, way more.
And I think it's really offensive that Tony Meir would raise that to try and persuade the hearts and minds of communities whose sole interest is the environment and what we protect for our future generations. When you look at the cultural values assessment that was done by Ngāti Power Iwi Trust, there were so many things in there that said this land and this area are priceless to us culturally. And it is offensive for him to say, oh, but I can buy it for $1 million over 35 years. There is not a house on Waiheke that you can rent for that price. Not a single one-bedroom or studio apartment that you can rent in Waiheke for that little amount of money. And he raises it to be inflammatory. He raises it to kind of excite people and to get them upset. What I will say to those people is that we sit back and we consider every single offer, and we don't make the decision. We put it back to the community. And what the community said to us is we could not even afford to clean up Little Oniroa for $1 million in a year. Okay, so when we're talking about all of the negative effects we're saying, dig a little deeper, Mr. Mayor, because this was not about economics. What this was about was doing something that doesn't steal from our people and our future a beautiful bay with such cultural significance.
So it's still on the subject of money, the other thing raised is that the developers, so Waiheke Boat Harbours Limited, will be seeking costs, and I think they've indicated they're seeking $400,000 of costs. We've been through one of these hearings already with Matiatia, where the result was the other way, where the marina was turned down. And, of course, the group that had proposed the marina quickly folded and avoided paying costs. I'm presuming that Save Kennedy Point have looked at that and done some thinking about protecting yourselves financially.
No, we've looked at this and looked at protecting the environment and the community and our future generations. That is what we've all been in here for from the start. I'm so glad that you raised Matiatia, because Mr. Mayor and in particular people like Mr. Little John were the lawyers who we trusted. Mr. Little John was one of the lawyers who we trusted, the community trusted, to represent us in the Matiatia case. What none of us could have imagined was that a year later, he would jump sides with all the valuable information he knows about our community and represent the other side.
Well, they're guns for hire, aren't they? I mean, back to this issue of the $400,000. So if you're not in a position to fold up the organisation and go, sorry, nothing here, nothing to look at, where, if those costs are awarded, where will they fall?
In the Environment Court, a vexed issue. The assessment on whether costs will be awarded is still a live issue. We believe that, based on the fact that we got such sound advice from experts as to whether we had a case before we even took a case, shows that there was a case to be had, and it was reasonable for us to take that position. The threat of cost should not stop any environmentalist, any citizen, any community member with a genuine belief in protecting their rights to take a stand. And I think that needs to be the resounding message. What we do in our cost consideration and in defence of that cost is something obviously we will consider. But what I want the message to be to the community, because we have a responsibility to the community at large, is do not let a question like cost be the one that silences you. It has silenced so many people before, and that is why we're in a state that doesn't look all that pleasant or good right now. What I ask you to do is to be brave, to stand up for what you believe in, and to get sound advice. And if that advice says you have a right and a cause to fight for, then please fight for it. And when the question of cost comes, stand proud that you stood on the right side of history, which is how I feel our community currently feels.
So let's look at time frames. So you've had your meeting the other day, and you know, as you say, it was a chance for people to kind of just to vent and to reflect and so on. But presumably you've started to look at, as an organisation, look at some of the various options which lie in front of you now. You know, obviously, you know, considering an appeal is one of those options. Folding up your tent and going home is one of the options. But what what other options have been put about?
Well, I think, Chris, we haven't yet consulted all the people we need to consult, and that's an ongoing process. There will be more meetings. Some of the people couldn't make the meeting on Wednesday. So we'll continue over the next week to look at options and where we should be moving forward. Sebastian, you might have some things to add on that.
Yes, I think the surprising thing is as soon as the judgment came out, and obviously how public the reporting on it was, we had options brought to us by people who did not know that this was going ahead. We had people from Wellington, from Queenstown, from all over the country go, "Are you serious?" We had different iwi groups who said, "There's no way we would have supported this." So the amazing thing is we've now not had to just do our own consideration of options, but we've had such resounding support from people who weren't even informed that this was going on, who said, "No, what you are doing is right, and do not sleep, do not tire, let us help, let us refresh what you are fighting for." We've had a look at appeal options, we've had a look at rehearing options, we've had a look at so many things that are positive and aren't defeatist. So I know that you had an interview with Mr. Mayor last week, and he was very, very confident on their position. What I say is people who express shuts, like egoistic confidence, don't understand that what we are charged by isn't money and isn't bank accounts. What we are charged by are communities who say to us, "We share your concern. Can we help?" And right now, our biggest option is to say to people, "You can help, and let's all get together and see what that next step is."
So, what's the any appeal will have a window of time. You have got some time pressure on this. What is the window for an appeal?
So under the rules, it's 15 working days. So we're actually only sitting at about the seventh working day because we had the public holiday last week and the decision was released on a Wednesday. So we've got another 8 working days, which is an incredibly tight time frame. But that is only for us to express to the court what our potential intention is going forward. We will take all that time to be considered, to be really determined in what we do. And once we make that decision will be one that nobody needs to ask us about, because they will all have had an input in making it with us.
So, Kathy, just let's finish off with that. So you say you've got more people to talk to. So what is the process of that? Who are these people you need to talk to, and how are you going to go about doing it?
We have a meeting planned for today with the people who were the original people who made submissions against the marina. And obviously we have our website. People can put forward suggestions on that. We also think that people should talk to their politicians, to their MPs, to the Minister of the Environment, David Parker. This is a very interesting time for New Zealand. We're very aware of how fragile our coastal spaces are. The amount of weather bombs that have damaged areas. This is a pivotal time. Tourism, dairy farming, everything like this. New Zealand needs to look to the future and needs to look to the environment, because we're all dependent upon it.
All right, so we'll watch this space. Sebastian Cassie and Kathy Voiles from Save Kennedy Point, thank you very much for coming in this morning.
Pleasure.
Yeah, and we look forward to hearing what happens next.
Cool. Can I just give one last statement? I would like all of those community members listening to Waiheke Radio, and we're so proud that we have a radio station to call our own, so thank you, Chris and team. But we just want to say thank you. Thank you for your confidence in us. Thank you for your support. Thank you for dealing with this result in such a mature and considered way. We know it's disappointing, but we hear your voices and we hear your calls that the fight is not over yet. And to Mr. Mayor and Mr. Littlejohn team, what we say is, it's easy to have a short-term win. What we're in for is a long-term success. So thank you.
Okay, thank you to both of you.